It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll hear about a UW-Madison study that examines how birds are affected by air pollution. First, Wisconsin's spotlight is still on the Taiwanese technology company Foxconn. Lawmakers are still working on a multi-billion dollar incentive package to bring a plant to southeast Wisconsin. The plan has supporters and critics. Supporters say it would boost Wisconsin's manufacturing sector, create thousands of jobs, and create a technology hub in the Midwest. Others are skeptical that the company will help the state's economy as much as it says it will, and also worry about the environmental repercussions of building a plant here. Scott Manley is Senior Vice President of Government Relations for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. His organization and over 100 other business groups, chambers of commerce, and others have formed a coalition to support the Foxconn deal and encourage lawmakers and the public to get behind it. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
What is your hope? What's your vision for how Foxconn could change the Wisconsin economy?
Well, we think it'll be transformative. I think that the big thing will be an enormous investment in our state, an enormous construction project that will create jobs, 10,000 direct jobs and 6,000 indirect jobs during construction. But then when the company is up and operating, it's expected that they'll employ 13,000 people, making an average of $53,800 a year. That's a great job in Wisconsin. And 22,000 indirect jobs. So we really look at this from the standpoint of incredible job creation potential, but we also see a really huge potential for economic impacts that reverberate throughout the entire state because of the supply chain purchases that Foxconn will make with Wisconsin employers.
What do you think made Wisconsin attractive to Foxconn?
Well, I think we've got a lot of things working in our favor. We have a business climate that's improved. We've got a world-class educational institution in the UW system. We've got a very high-quality technical college system. We've got a skilled workforce. I mean, Wisconsin is the second most manufacturing-intensive economy in the United States on a per capita basis. Second only to Indiana, we have more a higher percentage of people working in manufacturing than anywhere else. And so when you're a company like Foxconn that wants to invest $10 billion to make things as a manufacturer, I think it's very attractive that we have a workforce that is populated with people that have that skill set.
Now, looking at what the state is putting in as an incentive package, this is a big one. Some estimates, of course, say the state itself wouldn't get to the investment back for 30 years or so. Is it worth making that big an investment from the state?
It is, and I think that the payback would come significantly faster than that. But when you look at that figure, it's up to $3 billion. None of it is guaranteed. It's a pay-as-you-grow situation. The incentives are tied directly to the number of jobs that Foxconn would create and the amount of money that they would invest in capital building expenditures in our state. So in order to earn their way to $3 billion, they would have to grow to 13,000 jobs and invest $9 to $10 billion in our state. That $3 billion is over a 15-year period. It's important, I think, to look at what are we getting for that value. And over that 15-year period, it's estimated that we would see $35 billion in additional wages and $83 billion of increased economic output in our state that is directly attributable to this project. So we're seeing leverage ratios of much higher than what we're investing in terms of pay-as-you-grow incentives, in terms of the wage growth and economic activity that we'll see.
Can you talk about the kinds of jobs that would be created if this all goes according to plan?
Sure. A lot of the jobs would be very highly skilled in the engineering and computer programming area. That Foxconn is talking about having the most advanced manufacturing facility in the world, on the planet. So if you can imagine the highly skilled types of individuals who will be needed to operate and maintain robotics and so forth, you know, I think like any business, they'll have jobs that have skill sets that run the gamut from lower skilled, you know, all the way up to very highly skilled. But if, you know, they're talking about the average job paying $53,800 a year plus benefits, that's not going to be paid to a low skilled individual. That means that the average job at these facilities is going to be a fairly highly skilled position.
Before we were talking about Foxconn in Wisconsin, we were hearing about the idea of a skills gap where manufacturers already in the state were having trouble finding those skilled manufacturing workers. Do we have the workforce ready, or are we going to be importing a lot of workers to do this?
Well, I think we have the types of skills that are necessary. The question is, do we have them in the high enough, or in a high enough quantity? I think we probably don't right now, but I think the good thing is we're very well positioned to skill people up to that point. As I said before, we've got a world-class university system here and an incredible technical college system that can help us prepare workers, including people who are already here, to fill those types of jobs. But I think the magnitude of this project and the notoriety that it's receiving, it's made national news, it's made global news. I think this project is going to serve as a magnet for workers. I believe that Wisconsin will where we have generally had net out migration, where we have more people leaving our state than coming to our state, I think a project like Foxconn has great potential to reverse that trend, put us into a situation of brain gain instead of brain drain, and we will attract workers because of the enormous economic opportunity here, much in the same way that North Dakota, which is an otherwise kind of barren and really cold and not wonderful place to live, attracted just droves of workers when fracking and shale oil technology picked up in their state.
We're talking to Scott Manley from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, looking at the potential impact of Foxconn here in Wisconsin. And Scott, some environmental groups have raised red flags, worried about maybe waivers from environmental impact statements, waiving state wetland laws. There'd still be federal wetland laws, but those are a little different than the state ones, as I understand it, and worried about an already, they say, overstretched DNR, maybe not having the capacity to enforce environmental laws on a big plant like Foxconn. What do you say to that?
Well, I think those are overblown, and when you look at the wetland piece of it in particular, there are two kinds of wetlands, a state wetland and a federal wetland. The vast majority of wetlands are federal wetlands, and so in order to have any impact on them, Foxconn would need to get a permit from the federal government, which Wisconsin has no control over. In terms of state wetlands, Wisconsin is only one of three or four states that even regulates state wetlands in the first place. So the idea that we would say you don't need to get a state wetland permit, it is very consistent with the way the vast, vast majority of states deal with those impacts. What I think is important to understand, however, is that any impact to a wetland as part of this project, whether it's a state wetland or a federal wetland, will have to be mitigated at a ratio of 2 acres for every 1 acre that's disturbed. And we don't know if any acres of wetlands will be disturbed, but if they are, they'll have to be mitigated at a 2-to-1 ratio. So we'll actually gain 2 acres of wetland for every wetland impacted. That's actually a more stringent requirement than exists anywhere else in Wisconsin under current law. So Foxconn would actually be held in that respect to a higher standard. Some of the other exemptions that would apply in the Foxconn legislation are based on exemptions that already exist under current law for DOT projects, and impacts located in Milwaukee County. I mean, we literally, under current law, exempt so many of these same activities from waterway permitting. And this bill just says, well, what's good for Milwaukee County is also good for Racine, you know, this limited project in Racine County or Kenosha County or wherever they locate. At the end of the day, however, what's, I think, the most important thing is that we have air quality standards and water quality standards that are based on public health and that are designed to protect public health. And there are no exemptions for Foxconn for air quality or water quality standards. They will have to meet the same stringent air and water quality standards as any other company in the state is required to comply with.
Looking at the coalition you're part of backing the project and the state incentive, I saw, of course, you know, Chambers of Commerce groups in Racine and Kenosha County areas. Thinking of, I also saw Douglas County and ones all over the state. Do you see this having an economic impact beyond southeastern Wisconsin itself?
We absolutely do. I mean, we've got the two chambers of commerce who are probably located farthest away from each other in the state supporting this, Kenosha and Superior. And then we've got 41 other chambers of commerce in between representing all corners of the state. It's projected that Foxconn, every year that they're operating, will make $1.4 billion worth of supply chain purchases from Wisconsin companies. To put that into perspective, Oshkosh Corporation is one of our largest world-class manufacturers today. They make about $300 million in supply chain purchases from 700 Wisconsin companies located in 140 different communities sprinkled about in 43 different counties. So that one company headquartered in Oshkosh touches 140 communities in 43 different counties and 700 companies. The supply chain impacts just for Oshkosh Corp are enormous. Foxconn would be almost five times as large in magnitude. So, yes, we think there will be profound statewide positive economic impacts.
Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Scott Manley, Senior Vice President of Government Relations for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. He joined us to tell us why he and a coalition of business groups are backing plans to bring Foxconn to Wisconsin. Coming up, we'll talk to a scientist about a UW study that looks at the effects of air pollution on birds. Stay with us here on Central Time.